Greetings, all my beautiful listeners. It's another week, and that means another episode of the podcast has dropped. Welcome to episode 120 and my delightful interview with Charity Yoro. Charity is my kind of human, and we had such a dynamic and diverse conversation, and you'll notice that I actually talk a little bit more in this interview. I actually also recite my favorite poem very badly, so please try not to judge me. You'd think if I loved it that much, I would be able to recite it so much better, but clearly I have some challenges. Charity is a poet, and she's a Pushcart Prize, an Orison Anthology nominated poet, and she has a debut collection coming this fall in 2023. She's also a creative producer with a strong background in community building, as well as a freelance writer and marketing specialist. But most importantly, she's a mother. And in this interview, what I really love is we talk about the quiet miracles, the daily miracles, the daily magic that I think a lot of us, including me, we sometimes forget to appreciate. And so now, episode 120 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
I think magic is there. Magic is there if you want to see it. And if you want to see the connections, and if you want to see the, I think magic, when I think of magic, I think of mystery. I think of what we don't know and the awe and reverence that comes along with that. And so when I think about the awe and the reverence, and I think of the mystery, I mean, honestly, this last 2 weeks has been full of magic for me. I'm going through a major life change, and it was terrifying because it felt so uncertain. So like, how could I possibly, you know, leave a relationship with two very young children, and I don't have a job, and I haven't, you know, worked formally on paper with an employer for the last few years, caretaking my children, and in making the decision that was the best one for our family, it was like God, the universe, spirit was saying, hey, you're listening. Because I'm going to make things really easy for you. I'm going to get you a place to live. I'm going to get you a job. I'm going to get you the community that you've been wanting for the last 4 years. I'm going to kind of just throw everything in your lap and show you that what happens when you actually listen and attune to what needs to be the alignment that needs to happen. And I mean, this has all happened in the last 2 weeks, these huge shifts. And while, you know, a lot of these things were in movement before the 2 weeks, it's like, it has felt like little affirmations, reminders, magic, you know, these moments of magic that are saying, hey, you're on the right path. Hey, you're doing this right. Everything's going to be okay. And I just feel so grateful. And now I'm emotional again, grateful and deeply, deeply in awe of that, the synchronicity and just the holding that has happened for me, for my family, my children in the last 2 weeks.
It's really interesting because doing this show, I try to be careful with my words. You know, I use the word God, I use universe, I use spirit, but sometimes I use the word, the words, the soul of the world. And I get that specifically from the book, The Alchemist, which everyone out there should read because it's astonishing. And, you know, we might, faced with these large decisions in our lives, you know, should I move to Santa Fe? Should I, for you, leave my partner? In our minds, there are all these roadblocks, these kind of these huge walls, or maybe you could picture it as this massive crowd of people that are just standing in your way, this insurmountable obstacle. And the soul of the world,
when it asks you to step forward in your life or move forward, and then you're seeing all these insurmountable obstacles, but you still choose, you still make the choice to go forward despite the obstacles, it is almost as if the soul of the world just comes in, walks in front of you, and just pushes everybody out of the way and clears a way through the crowd. Because you're living an authentic life and you're on the right path. I mean, if you are doing something that is so scary, but it is the path that the soul of the world wants you on, it might test you. Yes, of course, everything's not going to be hunky-dory all the time, but you will find that all your obstacles are gone. Reminds me of what Joseph Campbell said in Living a Life Full of Bliss, you know, in living a blissful life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to paraphrase here, but if you're living an authentic, blissful, bliss-filled life, you can look and there might be a wall in front of you and everyone else will see a wall. But because you're living a life with intention and integrity, a door will open for you. Mm-hmm. And you are the only one that can see that door. But the universe has opened it for you and you can step through. And I've always thought that was so beautiful because that's absolutely my experience and a lot of other people's I've talked to. And it sounds like for you too in these last 2 weeks.
That really resonates. And I say last 2 weeks, but you know, it's honestly, these moments have been happening, you know, like throughout my life. And you it's like, are we going to attune to seeing it as magic, or, you know, it's just coincidence, or no, all these people are coming into our and circumstances come into our life for those reasons. I love that. I love that quote by Joseph Campbell and that analogy.
I mean, I think one of the things that's hard about our world is there's so much suffering and sadness and sorrow and death. And I'm in a super privileged position. That doesn't mean that I haven't seen my share of sorrow and death and suffering, because I certainly have had a lot of that in my life. But I've worked on it. I continue to work on it. I've worked through it. Sometimes I think back to where I was 20 years ago, and I'm astonished that I'm still here, frankly, because of what I went through. And I am in a privileged position, but I worked really hard and didn't give up to be in this position. I did not give up. Every person on this planet has a purpose. I think you know this. And so once you start understanding that and you're like, oh, I'm here to do something for other people, for the planet, for the stars, who knows at this point, for the multiverse, if we want to get all matrixy, I think, you know, that in itself, understanding that is a call, don't you think? Yeah. It's a call to start trying to understand how you can be good to other people, to the planet. I feel like I'm on a soapbox. Sorry, everybody. But it's really important for me that, you know, every single person understands that they're beloved and that they're here to make this world a better place. Hmm. I'm going to ask you a confounding question. Just because I'm curious. And there's no judgment. But just only because of what I think. Do you think there is a hell? And I might edit this out. Do you think there's a hell somewhere else? Or do you think it's like here and it's our job to make it better? Thoughts?
Ooh, that is a confounding question. Okay. In some ways, I feel like the latter. I think the years of the pandemic have felt like a little bit of that. Like, we are creating circumstances that feel like hell, you know, like as humans, we're making decisions collectively that are not benefiting the whole, that are not benefiting the earth, we're not being good stewards as a whole. And it feels like a form of hell. Like, it feels like hell being like punishment. And hell being like consequence for sin or consequence for wrongdoing or misusing of resources, misusing of gifts. So yeah, I kind of like I'm aligning and I'm feeling like the latter of what you said is kind of what I feel right now. Like it's a responsibility now to take us out and to do what we can within our limits of longing, within our limits of rectifying some of that, some of the bad decisions.
I think the one thing that I love, especially about that poem, and I love that you brought it back in, was I was in an event last night and it was a storytelling event. And we each had to tell a 3-minute story of a moment in our lives when we suddenly became aware of the awe and wonder of the world around us, something that just gobsmacked us. And this woman who was there talked about being a kid and being, I believe, in Jordan when she was a child. And, you know, they were out in the middle of nowhere in Jordan, but near the mountains. And they built a big fire for everybody who was there at this encampment. And just the way they were situated and the way the light was reflecting, the little girl who was like 7 maybe stood between the fire and the mountains, and she was dancing, and her shadow on the mountain was huge. They could see her shadow. And so that brought up that poem, right, that I recited earlier, make big shadows that I can dance in.
Dance in, yeah.
And oof. I just thought, oh my God. And I think about what you've just said about, you know, the pandemic and hell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we were all dancing like that, making those big shadows and rejoicing in the light, the firelight, and rejoicing in life in whatever way that looks like, you know, this world would be a better place. I think it would alleviate some of the feelings that there is hell on earth. I love what the Catholic Church said, because they always hedge things. They're hedging. There is a hell, but we don't know if anyone's there. I thought that is fascinating. Because you're not really saying anything definitive. You're kind of just imagining. But I thought, ugh, is that doublespeak? I can't quite tell what's going on. You know, there's such an authority, but for the, but for the Catholic Church to admit that, I thought was very fascinating. So I walk around this world thinking, you know, hell is here and it's what we create, whether it's in our own minds, you know, or it's with the people around us or at our company where we work or what have you. And it's each of our responsibility to act in this world or create big shadows that God can dance in.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. At the end of the credits, I will recite the poem by Maggie Smith, the one that Charity talks about and that is potentially one of her favorites. I'd like to thank Charity for being a guest on the podcast and for sharing her stories and for being willing to have such a lively conversation with me. I also need to thank the creators of the music used in this episode. That Sounds, Music L Files, Justin Allen Arnold, Stephen O'Brien, Frank Schroeder, and Winnie the Moog. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to changemakers, artists, playlists, and other groovy things I hope lighten and brighten your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Charity. Live in the flow. Believe in the flow. And understand that every minute, every interaction, every moment is itself some kind of miracle. So before I recite the poem, Good Bones, by Maggie Smith, I want to let my listeners know that there might be some language that is difficult to hear or triggering for some of you. So now, the poem Good Bones by Maggie Smith. Life is short, though I keep this from my children. Life is short, and I've shortened mine in 1,000 delicious, ill-advised ways. 1,000 deliciously ill-advised ways I'll keep from my children. The world is at least 50% terrible, and that's a conservative estimate, though I keep this from my children. For every bird, there is a stone thrown at a bird. For every love child, a child broken, bagged, sunk in a lake. Life is short, and the world is at least half terrible. And for every kind stranger, there is one who would break you, though I keep this from my children. I am trying to sell them the world. Any decent realtor walking you through a real shithole chirped on about good bones. This place could be beautiful, right? You could make this place beautiful.